following is the eighth in a series of classes given by Father John Hardin, S.J., in Vocation Formation, or Principles of Formation in the Religious Life. In this class, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the aggressive personality. Father Hardin.
I have this in four stages. First, I want to talk about personality in general, then the specific meaning or description of an aggressive personality, then third, the analysis of that kind of a person, and fourth, how do you deal with them? First then, personality. I would define personality as the distinctive qualities of a human being as an individual and of course we are all different. However, I think it is worthwhile, especially since we're addressing ourselves to formation, I think it is well to distinguish, as I've had to distinguish in dealing with people, between personality properly so-called as we've just defined it, and character. Many writers just don't distinguish between character and personality. They are not the same. Unlike personality, properly so-called, character is the personality of an individual. It is that. But it's personality plus. Character, then, is the personality of an individual as this individual has developed through experience and moral behavior since infancy to one's present age. Let me repeat. Personality differs from character, which is the personality of an individual, comma, as this has developed, that is the personality, through experience and moral behavior since infancy to one's present age. In dealing with people, especially those whom you've never known before, I cannot tell you how valuable this distinction is. Because personality, properly so-called, is something we are, I don't say born with, but conceived with. It has been nothing less than defined by the church because a heresy rose to the contrary, that God creates a distinctive soul, note, distinctive soul, for each person at the moment of conception. So the differences and varieties among persons come from God. Isn't that good to hear? Because He creates the spirit. And no two spirits that infuse or are infused into the human body at conception, even in otherwise identical twins, are the same. So personality is that which is God-given. Character is that which is man-made. Whereby man-made, I mean the personality which is already different, which then is differently shaped by my experiences. No two people have the same experience. And surely no two people during their lives have behaved in the same way. Brother?
So, Father, that a Christian should not change his personality?
Strictly speaking, no.
But he may change his character.
Yes. And the character is meant to change.
With a change of character, would that could more or less not change the personality, but give certainly a different indication of a personality a person may have? For instance, I might be naturally aggressive, but my character may portray itself as gentle and kind.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in dealing with people, it is very important to distinguish between the two. Otherwise, I may, for example, as one in charge of those under my care, I may make the mistake of trying to reshape a personality, whereas I should be reshaping a character. Now, that's not a cheap distinction. And it's my responsibility to find out what is distinctive and therefore God-given about this personality. And there are some things that after years of experience, well, you cannot really remove because they're too much part of the personality. But they can at least be improved if they cannot be removed. So we're dealing with a very critical subject here. Now the analysis, specifically, oh, pardon me, meaning, and this is very short. What do I mean by aggressive personality? An aggressive personality is one that instinctively tries to command others and to have its own way. An aggressive personality is one that instinctively tries to command others and to have its own way. Now, this is my own homemade definition, but this is part of my job, is to make up homemade definitions as we go along. And now, three, the analysis. First, when we speak of aggressive personality, it is partly personality, partly character. In other words, by the time a person enters our lives, he or she has had a lot of experience and has engaged in many acts of moral, that is, free human behavior. So the aggressiveness is not all just sheer personality. It may be partly the result of character. You may not appreciate the development, but there it is. And some people, for example, have had to struggle. There's such a thing as struggling for survival. And these are things that I should know, because the person is just, he might be flexing its moral muscles because it had to in order to stay, for example, morally alive. I have found, by the way, there are some but not many exceptions, sisters in communities that have secularized. I have found, with few exceptions, they tend to have an aggressive personality. That is, sisters who have survived in secularized institutes. Does that make sense? Because either you develop whatever aggressiveness you have, or by now you would become, well, part of the landscape or the wallpaper, like everybody else. Number two, the aggressive personality is rooted in human nature. As human, but also is shaped by original sin. So that the aggressiveness is partly a human quality, which we need to have otherwise, unless a person, for example, was hungry and aggressively sought food, they would starve, right? So, aggressiveness is not something bad in itself, but it has been shaped by original sin. Name at least.
Are you saying then that the I'm a little confused. I'm thinking that the personality in itself is positive. It's the character that has the negative quality. Is that right?
Well, not quite. Not quite, brother. Because, see, we are conceived with a fallen human nature. Now, it's true, and you're touching on mystery, and I won't solve it. It's true that the soul as God creates it is good. But, and this is the best we can do, the moment that soul is infused into a human body, and that's from the first moment of conception, that soul is already infected by a weakness, sinful tendencies. So, as you might see, humiliating as it may sound, we are conceived and born with sinful personalities. Personalities that have a tendency towards sin, which is what makes Christ and His grace so indispensable. Without Him, you just don't master this fallen nature. Does that help a little bit? Now, could somebody mention one or two of the capital sins, which I call the four capital sinful tendencies, that reflect an aggressive personality?
Pride.
Please?
Pride.
Another?
Envy.
Another?
Sloth.
Please?
Anger.
What did you say?
Anger.
Anger. And strangely, somebody said sloth.
Yeah.
You're right. You are so right. In other words, part of our human tendency is to not move, whether physically or even spiritually. And laziness is the sinful unwillingness to move when I should. Okay.
You said that's particular to an aggressive personality, or it's more accentuated in an aggressive personality? Slow?
Is it what?
Did you not ask for four tendencies that
reflect an aggressive personality? Now, as I say, it's the last thing you would expect, right? You would think it's just the opposite. But it can be. Number three, the aggressive personality is not inherently bad. In other words, we don't begin by assuming that the person, because he or she has this tendency, is necessarily bad. Fourth, this personality is typical of all leaders in society and the church. If you want to meet an aggressive personality, meet Mother Teresa. Is she ever aggressive? Beautiful. Self-control. But as sharp as a whip and as fast as a bullet when action has to be taken.
Excuse me, Father, but I'm sort of confused now because I would think, you know, if one is sort of very aggressive, it takes, they work more on the human level rather than the spiritual.
Well, I would say.
You know, I'm only asking that as a question. I'm not making that as a statement.
They may, but they don't need not. In other words, as we'll see before this thing is finished, everything with the aggressive personality depends on their having a purpose. And the purpose cannot be self-advantage, self-satisfaction. So that the saints, well, I've got them, I've got six here and I could have added 60. David, a man more than once said, specially beloved of Yahweh, a very aggressive personality. John the Baptist, my patron saint, a very aggressive personality. Peter. Now Christ, who as God had made Peter's soul, knew what was in him. And Christ made sure he had that kind of a soul. When Peter's mother conceived him, the soul that God infused into that body was the soul of an aggressive personality. He was always taking charge. Sometimes when he should and sometimes when he shouldn't. Paul. What an aggressive personality was Paul. The founders and foundresses of religious institutes, right? Now they have the failings or the weaknesses because they're human beings, but they have aggressive personalities. They meet opposition, they meet difficulty. You don't overcome opposition or difficulty unless you have an aggressive personality. Then take a woman like Teresa of Avila, or Mother Cabrini. Talk about aggressiveness. You don't found a community. You don't establish institutes. You don't travel, I don't know how many times, between Rome and the United States as Mother Cabrini did. I've quoted this to some of you. One famous passage of Leo XIII as she was leading back for the United States from Rome. Cabrini's parting message was, "Let's love God with the sweat of our brows." I like that kind of mysticism. Sweaty. Fifth, an aggressive personality has a capacity for deep sin or of great holiness. One at a time. Brother.
I would think, Father, that all of us have to have an element of aggression in the spiritual life.
Have to have a?
An element of positive aggression in the spiritual life.
Yes.
I think most of the saints, I think all the saints, made up their mind that they were going to become a saint.
They really did. Mm-hmm. They really did. And nobody, not the devil himself, would stop them. Okay. You're right. Okay. Number six. Absolutely necessary for achievement. Because the unaggressive, the pliant personality, once it meets opposition or difficulty, will say, this must be the will of God. Well, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. find out whether this is an obstacle or an opportunity. Whether it's an obstacle to be overcome or an opportunity for humiliation. But first make sure. Now, how to deal with first, I recommend, which we have to do for ourselves, is help the person recognize that they have, if they have, this trait. Now, some people, and this will surprise you, some people give the very opposite impression. They can be very aggressive, but they don't leave that impression on you, maybe even on themselves. There is positive aggression, there is negative aggression. So first to recognize what kind of person they are. Secondly, have the person understand the particular kind of aggressive personality they have, whether it is, first, an aggressive personality that shows itself by domination of others for self. Right? See, there's nothing wrong with commanding others, correct? There better not be, otherwise that would be the end of religious life. Somebody's got to be in charge. It's first to find out whether I'm trying to dominate, or the word dominate already has a bad connotation, whether I'm trying to, you might say, command or rule over the others for my own advantage. Now, some people have, and this is what we're talking, I'm talking about the persons who have the natural capacity to command. It's a great gift. Do you know that? It's a great gift. But must be controlled. So that, and they have to be mortified and humiliated in order to get over their tendency to selfishly dominate or rule over other people. Secondly, make sure that they recognize that this faculty, and it's a faculty, is used to achieve things for God. Now, I can speak, as by now you must have gathered, rather comfortably about this personality. I'm very familiar with it. It may take years. It does take years of training. But that the capacity to rule, to command, to direct, is never for my own advantage. That means a lot of humiliation, because this personality tends to dominate and has to watch itself.
Father, I would, from my experience, I think that a lot of the young people coming into religious life today have an element of this aggressiveness because of the fact that the world is very competitive. And I think you observe this. I observe this very much more today. I think a lot of the young people have that element of aggression because the world tends to be competitive.
And this, I think, is, by the way, by now from last year, I must have spoken who knows how many hours on these subjects dealing with formation. I consider what we're talking about here one of the most important in the 2 years. You're right, brother. Thanks for raising it. Because as the young people or not so young come in. And we have the image of what a religious should be. They may frighten us. They may threaten us. You know what I mean? It seems, well, what religious life is for docile souls, for the gentle, for the submissive, for those who surrender their wills. That's true. That's true. You're right, brother. And I think that is one reason why in dealing with formation now, one reason that I put this in. Because I think most people that have even survived the world long enough to enter the religious life. Don't you think so?
I don't think we can depend as much as we could on facilities with people entering the religious life. I think they have been conditioned.
Oh, brother, this is... You have no idea how important this is. And the reason is because, of course, docility must be there. But the docility is what it should be. It's for the mind, that the mind is enlightened. That they know and are taught, and it takes time, that they will submit in certain things and in other things. Well, I'm teaching novices, for example. Well, in a half an hour, we'll have some novices here in class. But I teach Mother Claudia's novices, for example, in Philadelphia. 2 days. This is Saturday. Monday and Tuesday of this week. Delightful women. Very pleasant. I've taught them for, it's my 7th year. And I've taught novices from way back when. They are outspoken. They tell me things. For example, I think I mentioned this to you a couple of years ago with a group of novices, and I noticed one novice regularly reading a book during my class. I thought to myself, now, Jesuit scholastics, I would expect this, but not sisters. So I couldn't stand it anymore. I said, sister, and I was a little irritated, would you tell us what book you're reading? So she did. She said, yes, I'm reading the dictionary to keep up with your vocabulary. Good for me to hear. From then on, we always make sure there's a dictionary in the room. Right? That's just the way they think. So, it is necessary for achievement of the spiritual life, and I would say many nowadays come, or maybe most of them, come with their aggressiveness more developed, almost necessarily, than it had been even a dozen years ago. Now, third, these are recommendations. Must be balanced by humility and charity. Those are the two virtues that from my novitiate days on, because I was told I had to work on them, and so I am doing it. And you can't let up. That means you deliberately do things that other people perhaps wouldn't have to do, that are more, well, more simple, less obtrusive, less publicly recognized. I'll never forget when good sister Gorgonia, 4th grade, I remember almost the time of the day, whatever I was doing in the back of the room, and she called out about 60 of us, and she said, Johnny, stop showing off. What? I took it to heart. We've got to practice humility. In other words, that this kind of personality must be given opportunity to do things that don't let the person shine, right? Otherwise, you will not be helping this kind of individual to cope with their personality. And the same with charity. The built-in tendency of aggressive people is to be aggressive for their own advantage. So, let them practice charity so that their aggressiveness will be, shall we say, spent on a good cause. The person must recognize his or her traits, in other words. You cannot deal with an aggressive personality either or mainly to channel that aggressiveness in the right direction or control the wrong features of that personality unless a person first recognizes that he or she is that kind of an individual. All dealing with any either problem or behavioral pattern begins with first recognizing who and what I am. Secondly, to distinguish within the aggressive personality between, on the one hand, trying to dominate for oneself and trying to achieve for God. And I suppose people with an aggressive personality, more than anyone else, need to make sure in what direction they're going, what is their purpose. And not just in general, but in particular. Am I projecting myself here, saying this, or doing that, somehow to benefit myself, or am I doing it for God? All the saints must have had aggressive personalities in striving to achieve for God. And as you know, sometimes from 1 minute to the next, 2 minutes ago I may have been working for God. At this moment, I may be working for myself. People with an aggressive personality must be constantly on their guard to make sure that their natural desire to achieve is kept under control. Notice, what needs to be controlled is not the desire to achieve. Am I clear? It's whether I want to achieve for God or for myself. Second, the balance that I think we referred to, humility and charity. Humility, as you know, does not mean necessarily that I'm always either in hiding or do not use the talents that God gave me. A passage that I remember from my novitiate days in St. Robert Bellarmine. Humility, he said, does not underachieve and does not try to overachieve. There is a pride that wants to project itself. There is a pride that does not want to project itself. And secondly, balanced by charity. It is here, I think, particularly that the aggressive personality may find difficulties that other people don't have in the religious life. As I found out in my first 3 months in the novitiate, I'm told some of you, I just repeated because it illustrates a principle. I was called in by the novice master and told, Charisma, that means dearest. Sit down. As soon as I sat down, he told me, you are an intellectual bully. I thought I was intellectual. I didn't think I was a bully. Then he proceeded to tell me what was wrong with my aggressive personality. Your fellow novices find you insufferable. I've seen the word in the dictionary. I never had it applied to myself. So living with others is a very good way, almost an infallible way, of controlling one's aggressive personality. Again, an aggressive personality must be assisted by much prayer. Not only by prayer, but by much prayer. Because that kind of a person who wants to achieve must make sure that grace is available to achieve indeed, but not either at the price of dominating over others, as I was duly informed and given 30 days to develop some humility. Your fellow novices tell me you're just as proud. A month from now, I will pay for your ticket back to Cleveland. Yeah? Happy to relate, I stayed in the society. I did a lot of praying. Lord, make me humble. And I've been working at that ever since. Every day, I check myself on my unduly aggressive personality to keep it humble and keep it charitable. This is one subject I could give the whole course on. Believe me. Again, the aggressive personality must expect humiliations. And I would say above average humiliations. This kind of person practically looks for humiliations. I don't mean the person wants the humiliations. But you don't project yourself, as such persons tend to do, without somebody believing there, giving glory to God by humiliating you. And maybe they are giving glory to God. At any rate, humiliations must be expected by such a person. The principal single question that an aggressive personality should keep asking him or herself is why. Why am I doing whatever I'm doing? Is this for God or is it for myself? To make sure that I'm doing God's will. That was all number two of my lineup. Third, this especially with people that are relatively new in religious life. Aggressive people are threats to superiors, in case you haven't been told. And honest superiors all admit it. She threatens me. What do you mean she threatens me? Oh, she does. Consequently, superiors or those in charge of the formation of such individuals must distinguish between helping the aggressive person and feeling threatened by the aggressive person. Now, part of the help you give the aggressive personality may be the realization that you are being threatened. Then the one in charge must examine his or her conscience and, first of all, get over being threatened. The tendency is to crush such a person. A terrible mistake. There are two C's that apply here, and this is number four. Control, but do not crush. I'm not sure it's universally true. I know it is very widely true that one reason for the convulsion in religious life today is that people with this kind of personality, potential leadership in the church, either were or felt they were being crushed, and they rebelled. And the rebellion has cost the church in America 60,000 sisters.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.